is Rashida Ismaili Abu Bakr from the local advisory board. I am inviting you to the Theater for the New City, Saturday, April 27th, for a fundraiser, 8:30 to 5 o'clock. The proceeds will go to bringing back the WBAI folio. Come see live broadcasts of your favorite people. David Rothenberg, Bernard White, Bob Fass, Grandpa, John McDonough, and more. Join in discussions on radio production with Mario Murillo, Robert Knight, Peter Beauchamp, Deepa Fernandez, and a special conversation with Dr. William Mackey and William Lauren Katz on the history of America and how it is presented. There will be something happening in three theaters for you all day. Poet David Henderson, folk singer, activist Judy Gorman will lead off a poetry and music jam. So join us this Saturday, April 27th, all day at the Theater for the New City, 155 First Avenue. Come early, stay all day, 8:30 a.m. till 5 p.m.
Time is right up on us now, brothers.
This Friday night from 10 p.m. to midnight, WBAI continues its Community Listener Forum. A panel of listeners, community groups, producers, and you will grapple with the burning questions that will determine the future of WBAI and Pacifica. Just what is or will be the role of our local advisory board? How will elections be carried out? Who will be considered a WBAI member? What about affirmative action? Is some type of ethnic or racial quotas necessary? So join hosts Janice K. Bryan, Ray LaForest, and Dred Scott Keys as they begin to explore these important questions Friday night between 10 p.m. and midnight on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.
We'd like to take time out to congratulate the winners of the 2002 National Federation of Community Broadcasters Awards. The awards were presented during the Federation's 27th annual conference held in Charlottesville, Virginia in April. Hal Clark, Maria Carrion, and Amy Goodman were winners for their public service announcement for the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee. Esther Kaplan and Marion Kleinberg-Niemark of Beyond the Pale took away honors for the live local public affairs programming. And last but not least, kudos to Nancy Rodriguez and Dred Scott Keys for local music and entertainment series for Homenaje para Luis Ramirez. Again, the station congratulates the winners of this year's NFCB Awards.
the great Oscar Peterson, Gravy Waltz, and you're tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. I'm Dred Scott Keys, along with my co-hosts, Ray LaForce and Janice K. Bryan. And this is the second of a series of community listener forums concerning the bylaws changes that will occur within the Pacifica Network and, of course, will be affecting WBAI, your community radio station. And, Ray, I just wanted to ask about the meeting the other night, and if you can synopsize that. What we wanted to do tonight was actually discuss the role of the labs and also present some proposals and discussion around the elections. But Andy Norris couldn't make it tonight, and we may delay that for the next program, which Carolyn Burden will also be here. And go ahead, Ray.
I'm sorry Andrew couldn't make it. He had a very important event to attend with his son, and I can tell you firsthand those things you get to do once or they don't get done at all. So we understand that. The meeting was very good. Are you referring to the one last week or the one 2 weeks ago?
No, the one last week, the recent, most recent one.
Well, we still have to find our groove, but this is new territory. But I do believe that we are covering, we're becoming more knowledgeable, and mm-hmm. some of that knowledge is going to be useful, not only in helping us write, hopefully, very democratic, open, and well-thought-out bylaws, but to also experience them and live them, because if the people who are writing them or contributing to writing them actually are going through real discussions in the process of coming up with solutions, the way they execute them in the future will be affected by that also. So that's why tonight I'm very glad to see the four hosts that we have there.
Uh-huh. And that, one of the reasons for this radio program is to present their proposals or what's happening at the local meetings and to present them to a larger audience in BAI and the listening audience. We're going to talk about basically the proposals about membership in WBAI. And there are four people here this evening who are going to present their proposals, and I'll let them introduce themselves, starting with Paul.
I'm Paul Surville. I'm from Maplewood, New Jersey. I'm a member of the New Jersey Concerned Friends of WBAI. I'm also very active in the WBAI membership campaign, which is led by Miguel Maldonado. And if I could just make a brief plug, anyone out there who's interested in doing outreach work in the communities or outreach to organizations, we're very active, and we're distributing flyers, we're selling buttons, we're promoting WBAI at every opportunity possible. And if you'd like to join us and pitch in, give me a call at 973-763-9493. And we'll have a table.
One more time,
Paul. 973-763-9493. And if you go to the fundraiser tomorrow for the folio, you'll find a number of our volunteers with a literature table.
Mm-hmm. And Mimi Rosenberg, unwaged laborer at WBAI and co-host of Building Bridges, your community and labor report. And let's see, formerly banned and fired. I still haven't, that hasn't kind of been cleansed from the body politic entirely. I still wait for somebody to snatch the microphone away, but it's wonderful to be here with such a bright, committed, and creative group of people, and with such wonderful listeners to be listening.
My name is Bertol Reimers. I'm a listener for 20 years. Joined Concerned Friends after the coup, and basically I'm involved with was interested in elections and listener empowerment, and I'm glad to be here with such a distinguished panel.
I'm Nan.
Uh-oh. Go ahead, Nan.
I'm Nan Rubin when Dred turns on the mic.
You're still Nan Rubin when the mic is off. But go ahead.
And I was a member of the local advisory board for 6 years, including being chair for 2 years, and I'm an occasional contributor to the award-winning local program, Beyond the Pale, which you can listen to every Sunday here on WBAI at 11 o'clock.
Right. And by the way, what was the NFCB award for? What program exactly? They didn't list the program exactly.
No, Beyond the Pale is a weekly magazine program focusing on progressive Jewish culture and politics. And we sent in what we considered an example of one of our normal programs that we thought gave a real good idea of what the program was like. It included a number of segments that had political issues, including an interview that we did with someone from France on anti-Semitism. This was even before the recent activities. Right? A cultural segment. We had someone live in the studio talking about one of the local issues, and we might have also had someone on from the Occupied Territories. It was a mix.
Mm-hmm.
And we considered it a very good model example of the quality of the program and the type of material that we put on the air every week.
And the 300, the members of the NFCB judges thought it did quite well.
Yeah, we're very pleased to. It was the first time we'd ever submitted a program, so we were really delighted.
First time out, huh?
Yeah.
Beginner's luck or what?
Oh, I don't know. We'd like to think we're pretty good producers.
Yeah, I like to think that too. Anyway, where shall we start? I guess we can start from right to left, my right, and Paul, that means you. We'll be talking about a proposal as far as the membership of WBAI. Who can be members or who are members of WBAI? There are at least four proposals on the board, and we'll each be given, and I guess this is more or less the format of the show, where folks will be given 5 minutes to present their proposals, and then there'll be a discussion. There are members from the listening area in the studios, and I'd like to get their reaction to some of the proposals, and we'll go from there, and we'll be taking your phone calls at 212-209-2900. Anyway, Paul, take it away.
Okay, Dred. My proposal is largely based on the KPFA model that was used at KPFA in Berkeley. The only actual experience that we've had with elections. And my proposal essentially comprises four parts. And the first part is that the lab will be elected by the membership of WBAI. And so that's the answer to your question as to who's going to vote. It's the membership of WBAI. And I'll go into a little bit more detail on that after I mention the other parts of the overall proposal. Secondly, the proposal contains a detailed affirmative action plan to mandate the racial, ethnic, and gender composition of the lab. This is also an elaboration on KPFA, which merely calls for a breakdown of 50% people of color, 50% women. The third part is that there will be a very rigorous nominations process coordinated by the lab, but with listener involvement, to assure a very strong field of pro-mission candidates in the elections. And finally, that a maximum of one-third of the lab seats would be contested in the first election, thereby making it impossible for any takeover attempt by hostile forces. And in order to accomplish this, the entire lab that we have now would be grandfathered, meaning that they would remain in place, and we would be electing 8 additional members who would comprise one-third of the new lab of 24. We currently have 16 lab members. Now, getting back to the question of membership, to a large extent, this issue has already been resolved. We have membership. We have membership drives. We have membership cards. We have benefits accruing to memberships. We have discounts. We have premiums. It's very well established that membership in WBAI occurs as a result of contributing to the station. Contributing so far, that definition has really been limited to the concept of financial contribution. Now, because of the fact that we're opening up the process of membership and we're really expanding the notion, and we're relating it to the question of elections to the local advisory board, we also have to consider the fact that there may be people in the listening audience who would like to become members but may have severe financial hardship. And therefore, my proposal, parallel to that of the KPFA model, provides that a person can also become a membership by volunteering for 3 hours. 3 hours at the station, answering phones at the fund drive, stuffing envelopes, answering telephones, engaging in some kind of volunteer work that is beneficial to the station, that helps the station, and that shows a real commitment on the part of the volunteer.
That's 3 hours a year?
3 hours a year. Now, there might be people who can't make it to the station for personal reasons. It might be a financial burden to make the round trip. Their lives may be such that it's not possible for them to make the journey. In such a case, we're proposing that the opportunity to volunteer be brought to the listener. For example, the WBAI membership campaign could deliver 100 promotional brochures to the listener, and the listener could in turn take those brochures and distribute them throughout the building in which they're living to all of the apartments. If there were 100 apartments, they'd only have to do it once. If there were 25 apartments, they might do it, you know, on four separate occasions, staggered over a period of time. But the meaning of what's happening is that the volunteer is making a very, very significant contribution to the station, equally significant as a financial contribution. And so you have the basis for membership, the basis being that the listener is expressing a commitment to WBAI and is providing support to WBAI. There would be one additional category to qualify for membership, and that would involve people who are not only unable to contribute financially, but people who are unable to volunteer. And that, in my view, seems to be limited really entirely to people who are incarcerated. So in the cases of prisoners who are dedicated listeners, who are interested in becoming members, and essentially a complimentary membership could be provided. However, we should also pursue the possibility that there may be opportunities for even prisoners to volunteer. Within their surroundings, they may be in a position to promote the station, to advertise it, and in that way, they might be able to actually become volunteers. I'm really not well enough aware of, you know, the actual circumstances, but that's something I think that should be investigated. And so that really covers the definition of membership and also the definition of who would be voting in the elections under my proposal.
Mimi Rosenberg.
Well, again, it's very gratifying to see the work and the energy and the creative input from around the country that has gone into the reformation of the bylaws and putting together a healthier governance structure than existed. My perspective really comes from an old kind of Marshall McLuhanism, which is that form follows a function, and the question of how you look at what this radio station is determines a lot about the governance structure and who becomes part of the determining body in how governance unfolds. And I just want to be very clear that for me, this is not merely an eclectic station that encompasses all thoughts, although it certainly has functioned as a diverse entity with a lot of different perspectives. But I firmly believe that the function of WBAI and the Pacifica Network is to really serve as a self-consciously progressive communication outlet to really facilitate a transformation of the power relationships within our society, meaning specifically to empower the poor, the working class, the oppressed, and the disenfranchised. And from that comes my concern about who becomes a member and who becomes part of the governance structure. Now, I do not accept the KPFA model, which, while it very glibly accepts the notion of affirmative action, i.e. historic inequity, I don't think it internalizes and understands how to tailor it relevant to the structure that we're in or the various venues that we function in, Los Angeles, Berkeley, New York, Washington, D.C., and Houston. And it then has a proportional representation system, which I think rather cavalierly and mechanically sets aside 50% of its governance body for women and 50% for people of color, which to me totally dilutes the conception of affirmative action, because you're having individuals, you're not having anybody who represents a particular constituency and perspective. And when you lump the different ethnic groups that have been disenfranchised and people of color together, you're not winding up with any real possibility of majority. I think it's a very hollow, artificial construct. Where I do agree with what Paul's saying, and let me move to that again, form follows function. And my primary concern is that we become a diverse outlet that encompasses the disenfranchised who most need the service of a WBAI of a Pacifica. And we don't have that yet. We may have it in our listener audience, but we have not had that representation, that diversity in our meetings. Very much the opposite, as a matter of fact. And the question is, what do you begin to do to remedy that, assuming you want to? And I don't think that all our listeners do. I think there still is that kind of white blind spot that really precludes and does not give access to people of color and the oppressed groupings within our society to determine what the structure would look like and what their cultural likeness would be in order to encourage participation. Now, in terms of membership, just to break that down into something a little bit more specific. One, yes, there should be affirmative action. Two, there should be proportional representation, but there needs to be more than that. As far as members go, it seems to me fairly obvious that people who are subscribers are members of this entity, although I reject the notion of a listener cooperative. But people who subscribe should be members. Where I don't agree is with the notion of a fixed income ratio for a fee to become a subscriber. Subscribers' fees should be pegged. Least they become, and I use this very metaphorically and very historically and very consciously, lest they become a poll tax to prevent people from voting. The membership fees have to be pegged to people's income. So if people are on fixed income, if people have no income, there are increasing numbers of unemployed in our society. The fact of the matter is there shouldn't be any income prohibition to becoming a member. So again, the sustainers fees are relevant to income. But one group of people would be people who are indeed subscribers to the station. Another category of people, or another type of membership, would be people who work at the station, both waged and unwaged workers. A third, indeed, would be volunteers, although we always have to be mindful, which I think Paul pointed out, that there are people who cannot contribute their sweat equity to sustain the station, which may have to do with family responsibilities, unfortunately incarceration, or physical disabilities and many other things that prevent people from, or just other activities in other communities of interest that preclude them from being involved by using their sweat. But nevertheless, people who volunteer, people who subscribe, people who are employees. The fourth category, and I think this is where I differ most from KPFA and probably my colleagues here, is what some people called constituencies. I prefer to call them a membership of inclusion. I do maintain that we will not, the way we are proceeding, and that's been true at KPFA, we will not have enough candidates of colors, and we certainly won't have enough candidates who actually represent anything other than themselves, which makes it a fairly hollow victory for affirmative action, we could wind up with a John Murdoch, who, of course, we know was a very retrograde and reactionary individual who subverted the mission of WBAI and was appointed to the governance structure of the national board. So I believe that it is imperative to add this category of what I call the communities of inclusion. And it's a fluid notion, and it changes based on the political circumstances of our times. For example, right now we understand that the immigrant community and certain people who are of Arab descent and people who are Muslims are faced with tremendous deprivations and harassment from the government in very direct and very real ways. I would find it imperative, if this is a progressive station, which I believe it must be, to change those power relationships in society, to bring a group into this process and this governance structure, such as the different immigrant populations and certainly the Arab and Muslim population at this juncture. It is not of great concern to me whether they are immediately in any mass numbers listeners, although I maintain there certainly are considerable numbers of Arab people and people of who are followers of Islam that do listen. But what is of grave concern to me is that they become a representative body and not just an individual. That's one group of people. Certainly, Paul Serville mentioned the incarcerated and the harassed and the defamed by the criminal justice system, etc. Now, they need to be taking their place. How do you do this? I would advocate that there be a constituency assembly, a nominating assembly of various groups of interest, which can go from geographical groups of interest, i.e. suburban groups who feel they're not sufficiently represented, to political groups of interest, to people of color, to gays and lesbians and transgendered people, many people who are certainly not represented and not going to be if we follow the KPFA model. At that constituency assembly, those groups of people would begin to come together, have the discourse, have the dialogue, and figure out methods of representation and appoint people who would then take seats on this expanded governance structure that we hope to create. So just in summary, the membership must be hyper-conscious to be a membership of inclusion and not constricted, which will invariably really hurt the station and make us a very narrow parochial forum, essentially massaging our own egos and considerations rather than being an expansive and expanding entity for communication and for social change. So employees, subscribers, not prohibited by income restrictions, volunteers, and this group of communities of inclusion. And I could just say one model that might be adoptable aside from having a nominating assembly would be what the anti-globalization forces have been using, which they call the Spokes Council model, where, again, they bring together different areas of political, social interest, etc., and they begin to elect their members who will then become part of whether it's a bicameral situation where we have departments set up or whether there are reserve seats, etc., some of which may turn out to be obsolete after a period of time, others which we may expand on based on the political needs of our communities at any one point in time. I think in summary, it is strategic and tactical to do better than a system of proportional representation in our context, to bring people into this process who right now are not present and are not merely represented as individuals, but must be represented as groups with particular needs and interests on behalf of those groups of people.
Bertol Reimers from the Concerned Friends of New York.
Hi. First of all, I must say that this is not my proposal. This is the accumulation of many proposals, the KPFA in Berkeley, the KPFK in Los Angeles, that we have compared and contrasted to a lot of other listeners and producers' suggestions, and I kind of put them together as a whole, and then we discussed them here at in New York for the past 15 months. The proposal that I'm sponsoring is a listener-sponsored volunteer model. This proposal is not too different from Mimi's or from Paul Sorvel, so I'm glad that they laid out the foundations that I do not have to repeat. The way I will come about presenting this proposal is to talk about the aspects of the proposal presented by Paul Sorvel and Mimi that I oppose, and that can give you a structure of what I'm getting at. The first thing I want to say is that at one point there was an argument against actually having elections to begin with. And this was a very good rational argument, because this is an argument that said, you know, if you have elections, you have the potential to have well-organized right-wing organizations that can organize a voting bloc and take over the station. The rebuff to that argument is basically that, if you were to use the same argument within the American system, then you would say, okay, let's not have elections in the United States, because obviously the elections in the United States is not worth a grain of salt. You would realize quickly that Microsoft, Enron, GE, and all those companies would be the one, you know, choosing your president, even though they're choosing them anyway. Therefore, what is the solution? The solution, obviously, is some form of proportional representation that would give small minority groups, less powerful groups who have no access to money, a lot more access to seats in the Senate, and they would have a way to change the power structure. Proportional representation works actually really well, because what it does is, if you have a pool of candidates, what you do is you take that pool of candidates and you place it against the number of voters, and then you come out with you divide them, and then the remaining amount of voters you would get would be the amount that's needed to get a candidate elected. So you would, as you can see, the more voters you have, and the less candidates you have, the less voters you actually need to elect an individual, first of all. And second of all is, so the proportional representation and the choice voting, the concept is you vote for all the members who are running for a seat, and your vote counts towards every single person that is elected. So in other words, if you vote for someone that's not chosen to be elected, your second choice counts towards helping the next candidate win the next seat. So every voter has a say in every candidate that's elected to the board. There's an argument of, checks and balances. How is this related to Pacifica? Well, this is related to Pacifica. There was a takeover from within, actually, because as Mimi said, that tokenism and to selections of people we thought were progressive, we realized that we were watching the store, and then they almost took our precious station. If we had the listeners involved and engaged and having the power to have a say in what's going on at the station, you would have an earlier listener movement that would support the progressive producers and lab members, especially the lab members at WBI and the producers here in New York, and then they would have a better, better strength to counteract a coup or whatever. Now, I'd like to go straight to Mimi's constituency model, and which is one of the models that I have issues with. The rationale for this model, progressive group like the Vieques movement and so on, would place progressive activists on the board. And therefore, you would have less of a chance to have a takeover by the right wing. And that's a very legitimate and understandable position. However, once you start having progressive groups choosing members to be elected on the WBAI board, you run the risk of, first of all, getting people representing their own interests. So, for example, if you had an 1199 person put on the WBI board by the 1199, that person would tend to represent 1199's interests as opposed to the Pacifica mission or the WBAI mission. This is only natural and normal. Second of all, who gets to decide who is progressive? And once you get to that point, you know it turns into a power struggle, you know, and it becomes a vicious circle within a couple of years. Okay. Now, how do you get progressive at this station? I believe that WBAI has not done enough outreach and needs to do more outreach. We have to also understand that outreach is very difficult. You know, the station, the air, the popular shows should talk more about membership and should encourage, there should be a lot more cards encouraging listeners to become members. My model about who should be a member is basically the same as Paul Sorvel and Mimi Rosenberg, except for the Mimi Rosenberg part of it. I would remove the constituency.
I agree, but I disagree.
Yeah, I would remove the constituency aspect of it. And as far as Paul Sorvel is concerned, the nomination committee is not a bad idea. In other words, you would basically have a nomination/outreach committee that would be charged of going out there looking for progressive and encouraging them to run for lab seats. However, I'm totally against the lab or the nomination committee sponsoring them. You know, they have to run on their own once they decide to run for the lab. And they have to be WBI listeners, of course. With that said, my model basically would give equal time and equal airtime to all candidates. You know, like for example, right now in the United States, if you have no money, you don't have a chance to be on the air or to be to be recognized on TV or to have your voices heard. All candidates will have access, equal access to the air. And if by any chance that any producers or anyone would give them more access to the air than other candidates, then they would be banned from running for that election. Oh, yeah. they would be forbidden for that office. So that's basically the model. I also wanted to talk about the idea of people say earning the right to become a voter, and people think that's offensive. So we can always use the word they have to show strong interest in the mission of Pacifica and the mission of WBAI. And to show strong interest in the mission of Pacifica and WBAI, you have to either contribute, volunteer, or if you're a prisoner, of course, you have to find a way to verify that you are a WBI listener, and of course, you should be able to vote. And as far as people who are low income, single, and do not have mothers, and do not have enough time and money to put into the station, I say life is a choice. You know, we all have a lot of things that are important to our life that we could be doing right now. You know, a lot of people who are middle class and upper middle class are in this movement giving their time, giving times that they do not have. Life is a choice. And I think we can reduce the membership for low income. And $25 or some form of donation or some way of showing your interest in the Pacifica mission is the least we can ask. Because if you don't have enough interest to be able to participate or to volunteer 1 hour or 3 hours a year at WBAI, you know, how would I know that you would put the time and effort to listen to the candidate and understand the issues and vote and vote appropriately?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mayor Rubin.
I think I'm coming at this from a completely different point of view. I'm not familiar with the KPFA model, meaning I didn't really study it, and I wasn't using it as a baseline. And I also have tried to think very hard about what I know about WBAI and Pacifica and the listeners of WBAI and Pacifica and the kinds of functions that people have been talking about that need to be done here. Now, one of the things that hasn't come up yet, and I don't know where it's going to run in the course of discussions about the bylaws and reorganization, is exactly what a newly constituted local advisory board might actually do. And I think this is a major question in terms of what elections might mean and what it means for someone to be a member, because we don't know what this body is going to be charged with doing. We don't know what their responsibilities are going to be. They will certainly not be the same as the ones that have been carried out now, but we don't know what that's going to look like. We haven't really started talking about it. And there are other functions that people have been talking about, including what the programming is going to be like and how to have better oversight of the station, et cetera. There may be very many other groups or other variations of committees or other kinds of bodies that actually might have those functions. Those not necessarily will rest with the advisory board at all. Consequently, it's hard to say what people are going to be voting on and what should be represented in the group voting, because you might have three or four different groups. One of them might be really like a programming council or a constituency body like Mimi was talking about that would really be talking about the program schedule. There might be another committee that might solely be working on fundraising and operations and work closely with the administration of the station. And then there might be the advisory board, which is mandated really to get comments about programming, et cetera. So I felt like talking about constituency for membership is almost putting the cart before the horse, because we don't really know what they're going to be voting on and what they're going to be doing. So first, I think it's very important for people to be thinking about how these functions need to be divided up and what are appropriate ways to get people involved in all those functions. And one of them, this outreach function, I think is very critical, but may or may not be critical to people voting. They may be critical to people talking about other activities of the station, particularly around developing new programming and making sure that the voice of all the various groups are actually represented. So dividing the functions is one thing that I think needs to be included. Secondly, because we don't really know what's going to be voted on, I wasn't coming up with any schemes for how the votes should be done or nominating committees or anything like that. I think those are logistical kinds of issues that can be discussed once people know what the tasks are at hand. But Mimi said and I didn't write it down exactly, Mimi, but you did say that, quote, we may have the diversity in our audience that you were talking about in terms of getting people involved in the station. And that's exactly the point where I was coming from. I was starting from the point that there really should be only a single class of members. We don't need a lot of categories of membership. The only class of member that we need are the listeners. And if we look at the history of BAI listenership, our signal is broadcast from the top of the Empire State Building. We have a radius of over 80 miles. Historically, I'm not using the immediate past year, but historically, we have reached between 150 and 200,000 people in the course of a week who listen to the station. That's an awful lot of people who listen to BAI at one time or another. Even if it's less than that at this point, and we can build the listenership up, that's hugely diverse and spread out. And in fact, what we have found, again, in the past, when we've taken the time to ask listeners for information, so you all know, you all listeners know this, what we found is the listenership is broadly representative of the entire geographic, economic, and ethnic spread of the people who care about WBAI. including a very high percentage of different groups of people of color who listen to this radio station, much higher than most public radio stations. That already exists within our listenership. Isn't to say we can do better in terms of getting more listeners. It isn't to say that we can have programming that will attract different listeners. But we already have a broad listenership that has great geographic reach and has ethnic and economic diversity. That exists already. So I was really starting from the point that this is the group that's already engaged in the station. I don't feel that you should have to prove your dedication to BAI by volunteering or something like that. Most people who listen to the radio can be tremendously committed to it, love the station, etc., and don't have any interest in volunteering, or, you know, they don't have the opportunity to do it. And if they live 100 miles away, you know, for them to come down to the lower part of Manhattan, you know, for 3 hours a week, I mean, it just may not be part of it. But they may be very dedicated listeners, and that's really the key thing. So what I thought we should do is, instead of having a kind of narrow view of what the membership should be, that it really should be opened up as broadly as possible to the listenership. One other point I wanted to make about this is that a lot of people who've been involved in the station for a long time pride themselves on saying, oh, I've been a listener for 10 years, I've been a listener for 20 years. And it's really wonderful for people who have lived in New York that long and have been able to listen to BAI that long. The last time we actually surveyed the listenership, which was about 5 years ago, we found that 60% of the people who responded had been listening to WBAI 3 years or less. Either they haven't been in the area, or they didn't know about the station and they just found about it. They loved it and they were really fanatical about listening, but they were short. They just hadn't been listening 20 years. And I think those people also really need to be encouraged as listeners to tell their friends and be given some affirmation about supporting the station. So my proposal is actually very simple. There should be no economic barriers to becoming a member of WBAI. The subscribers, of course, have already demonstrated the fact that they're committed and would automatically be considered members. Anyone else, the only criteria for anyone else becoming certified as a member would be that they would have to prove that they're committed as a listener. That includes anyone who volunteers. I mean, there wouldn't be any separate categories for volunteers or prisoners or, you know, whatever. Anyone who can meet the criteria for showing that they're a committed listener would be eligible to register as a member. Now, I didn't actually think through yet, and I haven't, you know, been able to figure out what all that would mean, but I'm certain we can come up with some simple criteria using our own air, because that's how people relate to the station, to invite people to be able to meet certain criteria. They would have to contact us in order to get a registration form and register as a member. They'd have to provide us with a certain minimum amount of information. We might want to ask them to contribute a minimal contribution, like $5, but it would not be necessary. There would be no special member status for anyone, except that they could show that they were a listener, and that the membership status would be for a year. You'd have to register every year as a member to vote, because there's a tremendous amount of fluid movement among the listenership. People move out of town, they move into town, they stop listening for a while because their circumstances keep them from listening to the radio, they tune back in, etc. So every year people would have to prove that they're still a listener to the station. They'd get registered as a member, and then whatever the benefits of membership are, whatever they'd be voting for, that would accrue to them as a listener of WBAI.
You tuned to WBAI, by the way.
99.5
FM on your dial, and of course this is the second of the Community Listener Forum, and today we're talking about membership in the station. And one of the things that Leslie Kagan brought up so poignantly the other night was that before we can really talk about membership is the fact that we have to decide what the labs are going to be. I mean, that's where we really can start to define our membership. Unfortunately, we weren't able to talk about that this week, and we'll talk about it in future programs, but certainly there are some proposals out there. I think, Red, did you have anything else to say?
Yeah, well, if we still have time, there are two questions I wanted our guests to deal with. I thought that there were at least two points that separated people, you know, sharply. One of them was whether you had to be a listener or not, and the other one, and that you had to show interest, and how would that be manifested exactly?
Mm-hmm.
Paul?
Well, yeah, I have the question about Nan's comments that she said that listeners are very committed. But I think that for us to make a judgment that someone is committed, they have to show us that they're committed. And so I think that commitment has to be something real. And real commitment means real contribution to the statement, to the station, either financially, through their time, or in some other way, to help the station. But just to say that they're committed because they listen, I think, is sort of like contemplating one's navel.
Well, yeah, I just want to respond to that because I don't know why we're doing this radio station except for listeners. We're not doing it for ourselves, even those of us that are producing programs and that are involved in other political activities outside the station. There are 200,000 people or even 150,000 people who listen to the station. It's a lot more than even the 15,000 people who have committed themselves as subscribers. And I feel like we need to be responsive to those people as well. It sometimes takes a number of years before someone's listening before they're willing to send in a check. And I don't see why they should be disenfranchised.
Well, I think we need to be responsive to them, and they need to be responsive to us, and that they should respond to the appeal. Become a member of WBAI, and then you can vote in the lab election. So that we should be appealing to those listeners who may have some sort of internal commitment but have never actually demonstrated it, to ask them to step forward and become members and join WBAI.
Well, I guess, again, I'm the odd person out, although I would certainly agree with Nan on this last point. Economic remuneration of any kind or economic barriers, to me, prove nothing about commitment in this context, nor do the issue of volunteer. The function of our listeners is to do just that, to listen. And indeed, the commercial and market-driven status is to register things by arbitrons. And they're actually much more liberal than what we are.
Yeah.
They're just saying, turn on your radio and stay tuned and pay close attention, as our brother Bernard would say, Bernard White. And that should be sufficient for being a member and somebody who has proven their commitment. That's what you do with BAI. You listen to it. Yeah. So I think that, if I may, Paul, I don't personally believe that there is any need for economics. I don't think there is need for volunteer labor. I would accept all those categories as people who do volunteer are our comrades, our membership, the people who will determine the governorship, but it is our listenership. The only point of departure for me is a projection of future and a projection of affirmative action. It is not a matter of a litmus test to prove who's radical or not. That's not what I'm looking towards when I talk about inclusion. I'm talking about the fact that in order to have more people of color in the pre-election stage, in order to not just continue to resemble and replicate ourselves, we need to reach out to potential listeners and people who need a communication vehicle like this, which is unique to no other. And within that, the way that those people are going to be brought into the process is by giving them an ability to help shape the governance and the future and the programmatic content and all the rest of it of this station. So it's a very risky proposition, and that is to reach out to people who do not look like ourselves, who may not be the first ones to turn on a wake-up call and the last ones to turn off when Bob Fass or what have you. It's a matter of saying there are people who desperately need this station. Dare we reach out to them and let them begin to take a role in shaping the future of this station so it will meet their needs and we will extend our audiences significantly, because ultimately that is what we have to do. And we're breaking away from the arbitrons and the commercial market-driven mechanisms for developing listeners. And we should be thinking of a revolutionary way of doing that. And that is, to me, saying people need this. Let them become involved. They will become your listeners. They will help shape and revitalize and develop this radio station. So that's the kind of point of differentiation, and it would be a much more diverse station.
I really wonder, this is Janice Bryant, I really wonder, seriously, if out of this 200,000 or even 250,000, the numbers do vary, how many folks...
Never been that high. It's never been 250.
All right.
Yeah, well...
Well, anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, how many of those people are interested in shaping the governance of this station? They want to turn on the radio. They want to hear what they want to hear, when they want to hear it. They want their shows. And I really think it's sort of like people who write letters to the editor. There's a special group of people who are listener activists, and this is at the crux of a lot of issues that are going on now. The listener activists want to shape what's going on now, and most of the people wouldn't give a rat's patoot who is on the local advisory board. They just want their shows. And, I'm not for keeping people away, for sure, but I really am concerned about having people making decisions who don't listen. That reminds me of people being on the Pacifica National Board who weren't in listening areas, and that scares me.
Man Rubin.
Yeah, this, I'll just wanted to say something brief. First of all, about the governance issues, as Janice said, all of the organizations that I've ever been involved in that have tried to bring people in who did not already have a commitment to the organization and were not interested in it coming in made terrible people on the governance bodies, on boards, on committees, etc. The people who are interested in those things are the ones who need to be serving on it, in my opinion. If you're bringing people in who don't have a connection to the organization, they will not be interested in it, and that's exactly why the Pacifica Board turned out to be the way it was. Those people not were listeners, they weren't subscribers, nothing. They didn't even know where the stations were or what was going on. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, in terms of outreach, the most successful way that this station can do outreach is over the air and word of mouth. We have found consistently when you ask people, how did you find out about WBAI, why are you listening, somebody told them. If we really wanted to have significant growth in our listenerships, what we need to do is have real membership campaigns and outreach where everyone tells their friends to tune in. We get much bigger listenership. We get much bigger involvement. We get a real different sense about what was going on, and we certainly would get a big swell of energy activity, I think, around a lot of other things. We've never really done an audience-building campaign to get people to listen.
True. Berto?
I would like to say that I actually agree with Nan Rubin on this point. I think this idea of listeners, all listeners should be voters, is a rhetorical question. I mean, if these people are not participating, are not contributing, are not volunteering, they're not going to vote anyways. How do you know who is a listener once we're going to have an election and you're going to send out ballots? You're going to send out ballots to people who have reached out to you to give you their addresses. So, it's kind of, pragmatically, if you just look at it, the person has to make an effort to at least send a letter, to mail a letter to say that I am going to vote. I would like to vote. I'm a listener. And I'd like to make it a little harder. I'd like to have these people come to some stations or to some locations where they can actually register. You have to show something. That will take you an hour, by train to, or whatever, to go to wherever it is.